if you could, open to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and stick your finger or something in there to mark that passage. And then we'll start out back in Exodus chapter 33. But once again, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for the ability to sing these songs. Father, we thank you that you put these words in the minds of our brothers and sisters, that they might write them down and set them to music, Lord. And Father, that our hearts might be ministered to through these songs. We so much appreciate that, Father. And now, Father, as we turn to your word, we'd ask that your Spirit would be present, Father, to guide and direct into truth.
Yes.
Father, to reveal your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in all of his glory. Father, to be at work, that constraining influence of the love of Christ might have its impact in our lives. Lord, we don't look for any words of man, but we look for words from you. And Father, if there's something I say today that's just my own thoughts, that I'd ask that you'd help everybody to forget it. And Lord, help us to remember those things that are directed by your Spirit, pointed to Christ and from you. We pray this for the glory and for the honor of the one who's died on the cross for our sins, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You know, after a couple of those songs, I thought, I don't need to do any speaking. What we need to hear, we've already heard. Our Lord gave his life for us. He's died on the cross that we might have our sins forgiven. Thank you, brother. That we might stand accepted in the Beloved. And he's the one that deserves all the glory.
Amen.
Now, as I talk this morning, I'm not going to say anything new. Okay? You're not going to hear something that you probably don't already know. So if you came here to hear something new, sorry. Nothing new. But I want to direct our minds to think about treasure. And I'd like to speak about one treasure in particular and five things about that treasure. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18, Moses, after he'd already been up on the mount once with God, after God had already given him the law, after God had already engraved it on tables of stone, and Moses had seen all that glory and all that beauty and all that wonder and spent all that time, 40 days with the Lord, Moses cries out from his heart. And he says in verse 18, And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. Hadn't he just spent 40 days in the presence of the Lord? Hadn't he just received something that the Scripture says has a glory? The law? The writing of that first covenant? And yet his heart cries out for something more. He says, I want to see a glory that excels and surpasses the glory of this which you have given me. And you know what? This is something that if we can keep in our minds, I think it's so important. And I think as we study the Scripture, we see God reiterating this time and time again. There's something, some glory, that's better than the law. Than all the knowledge that I can glean about biblical things. There's a glory that's so much better than that.
Mm-hmm.
We find it and we learn about it through those things contained in the Bible. But it's a glory that exceeds that. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Now, your marker or your thumb is supposed to be in chapter 4, but we're going to just briefly look at the preceding chapter before we start thinking on the treasure that we find in chapter 4. God in the New Testament speaks about what happened there on the Mount a little bit. Starting in chapter 3, verses 6 through 11, I'm going to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 11. Speaking of God, it says, "Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excels. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious." You know, we encounter this principle every day. Right? If you're awake at night, you go outside, what do you see? Stars and the moon. You wake up during the day, you go outside, what do you see? You see the sun. Why is it that you see the sun and not the stars and the moon? Now, sometimes the moon's around the other side of the earth, right? But those stars are still there. They're still visible. You just have to get past the glory, the radiance of the sun to be able to see them. And this, God tells us in these verses that, you know, Moses, what he received from God, it had a glory. And it had a ministration, which was useful and was good. But there's something better. There's something which the law could never do, we're told in Galatians, right? Life, righteousness, never by the law. It ministered death. It showed us that we are sinners, it says. But there's something more glorious. Mm-hmm. The ministration of life. And that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, in our lives, there's times when we're called upon in various ways to show somebody our treasures. What is it that we have that's important? You know, in the Old Testament, the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon to see treasures and to see his glory. And what did Solomon show her? He showed her all of her treasures, right? All of his treasures. And he showed her all of his wisdom. When Hezekiah had some emissaries from Babylon, and they came in to visit him, he showed him the treasures of Israel. And one day the Babylonians took them. But you know what? Solomon and Hezekiah made a mistake. They didn't show the Queen of Sheba nor the Babylonians their real treasure. The treasure of Israel was not the gold and the silver. It was not the wisdom of Solomon. It was the God that they had a relationship with. How about us? You know, the last 2 weeks, we've been busy going out, talking to people, and leaving things at the door. What have we been showing them as a treasure? Is it our wisdom? Is it our knowledge and our clever handling of all the different scriptures? Or is it the true treasure of Scripture? from spending time with everybody, you know, I think it's been the true treasure of the Scripture that we've been presenting. How many of us have ever learned a foreign language? Okay? There's a few here. There's something that happens as you learn a foreign language. At some point in time, you stop translating and you just think in that language. Mm-hmm. I wonder, when we're at the doors and we're in our daily life, how much do we think in the language of the treasure that God has given us? And how much do we have to translate first? That being able to think in that language comes as a result of constant use. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 7. Most of you know now the treasure that I want to speak of. Say 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. I'm sorry. It says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Five things about this treasure. First, what is the treasure? We've got a treasure that's in us. What is that treasure? Well, when you read a sentence like this, what are you tempted to do to find out what it is? We have this treasure. Well, you know, just look above. It tells you what this treasure is. Verse 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This treasure that He's put in us, earthen vessels, is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, we can also call that the gospel. Now, that might make your mind say, "Now, hold it. When I think about the gospel, I don't necessarily think about knowledge about God." You know, if when you think about the gospel, you're not thinking about the knowledge about God, maybe we need to get a little bit more familiar with that treasure. Mm-hmm. Because that good news is all about God's character. Mm-hmm. It's all about who He is. Mm-hmm. It's all about what He's done. How He's put His character on display for us and for others to see. What is the treasure? It tells us previously, in verse 4, it's something we preach. When we're out there talking to people about the gospel, are we presenting Christ? Are we presenting the knowledge of Him? Now, there may be things we present before we get there and as along the way, but are we getting to that point? If we haven't, all we've done is ministered death. Mm. We haven't ministered life. And in the ministry He's given us is, yes, to make people aware of the fact that there's something that's glorious that tells them they deserve death. But there's something that's even more glorious. And because of that, life is available. Are we preaching Christ? Mm. It is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Notice it's not how I handle that. It's not my abilities. It's not my talents. It's not my wisdom. That's not what's good in this. But it's the treasure itself. Here's the treasure we have. the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If this treasure is knowing God and His glories and how they're displayed in the Lord Jesus Christ, what are we doing each day to, if you will, buff it up and shine it up so it really glows and it really shines forth in all of its beauty? You know, one of the things we can do is as we go to Scriptures, to specifically look to see what it says about God. You know, there's a lot of useful and good reasons for going to the Scripture and picking things up. It's good to learn how I ought to behave myself, right? It's good to learn these wonderful truths, doctrinal truths. But there's something whose glory just causes those things to fade away. You know, my justification, that's nothing compared to the glory of God and His beauty and the wonders of His character. What are we doing to become familiar with that? I want to speak a moment to some of the young people. I had two good friends. Spent a lot of time with them when I was in my college age years. And something happened at one point in their lives. And it took me a couple of years to actually understand what was happening. But they were pursuing knowledge so much that they were no longer looking for Christ. They were just looking for the knowledge. It was good knowledge. It was great knowledge. There wasn't anything wrong with the knowledge. But eyes were off that which was most important. And at one point in time, in each of their lives, they said, you know, my mind got off track. That which I'm supposed to be focused on no longer was the focus of my time in the Word and my time with believers. And young people, and some of us older people too, as we spend time in God's Word, does that happen to us? Do we look at the lesser glory and miss the greater glory? Do we stand in the middle of the day and strain and strain and strain to see a star and forget the sun? If this is our treasure, how much do we seek it? You know, our brother shared that verse from Hosea earlier. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. Are we following on to know the Lord? If we are, that treasure will just radiate out of us. Now, you know, we need to not let the dross of our life overshadow it. The sin in our life, the things that we do wrong. Mm-hmm. We need to take steps to not let that overshadow it. Mm-hmm. And it seems like such an odd thing that somehow some little earthen vessel could prevent the radiance of the glory of God from shining. Mm-hmm. But it happens all too often, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Sad to say, I know it happens in my life too regularly. This treasure that we have, how valuable is it? You know, again, in 2 Corinthians, just back a couple chapters, in chapter 2, God says, do you want to know what I think about this treasure that you have in yourselves? He says the following in verses 14 through 16. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death to death, to the other a savor of life unto life. Who is sufficient for these things? You know, as we go about sharing the gospel, these verses tell us God goes, "Oh, that's not so good. That's my son. They're talking about my son. Oh, how I delight in that. How valuable is that treasure?" You want to delight the Father every day? You want to delight the one who sent his son to die on the cross? Just let that treasure radiate forth. God says he is delighted. He says it's a sweet aroma to him. What can this treasure accomplish or purchase? You know, Romans says the gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone that believes. This message that God, you know, his character that he talked about in the Old Testament, showing mercy, showing pity. God was so compassionate towards mankind that he sent his son. Mankind who was lost, mankind who deserved what which had a lesser glory tells us and teaches us, that we've sinned. We deserve death. We deserve the punishment of eternal torment, separated from God and from the presence of his glory and his power. God, in his compassion, his mercy and his grace, sent his son. Had him die on the cross in our place. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. What a wonderful message. And when somebody sees that and understands that and comprehends that, what I've seen is it causes them to fall on their knees, whether literally or just figuratively, and acknowledge that they're a sinner. And they do not deserve what God has done. And they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're saved, it says. This treasure shines forth. For those who don't know Christ, one of the things it does is it brings them to salvation. And a salvation that, while they're still alive here on this earth, is twofold. They don't have to worry about ever having to suffer that penalty again. And they know that they can be free from those things that just have chains wrapped around their life. Yesterday, Roman and I were visiting with a young man. And this may seem odd to us. It may seem odd to some who are present here. But I can agree with this young man before I was saved. Eternal life? That just didn't click. Like, somebody tell me you can have eternal life. I was like, well, yeah, so? To be eternally like this? Why would I ever want that? But the gospel is the power of God to deliverance, right? Somebody finally showed me, it was the Spirit of God, that I could be delivered from the control of sin in my life. And then to live forever like that. Now that's something I wanted. That's something. The Bible says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. That's the liberty that we have in Christ, as that knowledge of our God and our Savior is made known to us and made known to the lost. And you know, for for those who know Christ as their Savior, what this treasure, as it shines out of our life and it brings a sweet aroma to God, the impact it should have is to beckon other believers to die with us. Be dead to yourself. Live to God. It should have that influence on those around us. Where is this treasure stored? God went searching. He said, there's a dirty vessel. There's a dirty vessel. There's a filthy one. There's a wretched one. There's one that doesn't have any glory of their own. I'll put it in that. In earthen vessels. Us. God took all the wonder of the knowledge of Himself and of His Son. He said, you know what? I want to just put that in humans. And let that shine forth. He's put this treasure in earthen vessels. And as we read back in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 at the tail end, who is sufficient for these things? Mm-hmm. You know, the more I learn about God, the more I realize that I'm not. Why should He choose to put that treasure in me? Why? Like, what's my ability compared to what He can do? What's my little mind compared to the vast knowledge of God? I just get in the way. And yet He says, this is where I want this treasure. I'm not going to commit it to angels for presenting to all of mankind. Would He commit it to angels? Doesn't it tell us in Hebrews that an angel gave the law to Moses? That which had less glory, they delivered to mankind. Now in the future, in Revelation, it talks about an angel that preaches the everlasting gospel. But previous to that, He says, here, earthen vessels, here's the treasure I've given you. In earthen vessels, who makes us sufficient for such things? Well, if you were to read through chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, you find out, don't we? It's God who makes us sufficient. It isn't how we look. It isn't how we were raised. It isn't the capabilities of our mind. It isn't our wisdom. It isn't how rich I am or how poor I am. But it's God who makes us sufficient. Who says, I'm doing my work, I've done my work, and that makes you able. How does He do this? Well, the first thing He does is He brings us to the point where we humble ourselves. And we say, I'm a sinner. I deserve that punishment. And I so need that deliverance that You've promised through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we receive, when we receive Christ, when we believe in Him, all of our sin is removed. You know, in Hebrews it talks about how in chapter 10, how that we've been perfected forever by that one offering. And then there's one of these verses that sometimes you read and you look at and you read and you look at and you say, now exactly how did God mean that? At times it almost seems like He's saying, because I've done that, that allows me to put the Spirit inside you as a witness. He cleanses us completely and perfectly so that this treasure can be placed in us, and so that the Spirit can dwell within us. How does He make us able? Well, for some of us, He makes us able by giving us a manifestation of the Spirit of God. Now, we like to shorten that and call it a gift. Okay? But in Corinthians, it says the manifestation of the Spirit of God is given to each to profit all. So some of us have this manifestation of the Spirit of God in our lives that we call evangelists. Okay? So they've got an extra measure. And people will look at them and say, whoa, that's God at work in that person's life. That's not that person's abilities. It's not that person's greatness. I know somebody like that. He stands about this tall. He's got silver hair. He's got tattoos from here down to here and out to here and out to here. He's got a big old burly body. And he doesn't have much cartilage left in his body. He doesn't have many joints that are still in good repair. You know, when Bob Gray goes out with the gospel, he's only able to do it because of the ability that God gives. And, you know, if I were the Lord, I would rearrange what he says a little bit. I would polish it up a little bit. But I'm not God, and I'm so grateful for that. Because Bob's got ears that work, and they're really tuned to the Lord. And when God says, hey, Bob, say this, Bob speaks. And it has impacts in ways that I would never guess. It just seems so out of place to me. And yet, God is working through that vessel. Because He's gifted that individual. The gift He hasn't given me. But He's gifted that individual in a special way. I finally, 3 years ago, started living out my responsibility with this treasure. Amen. I'd been doing a little bit before, but I wasn't doing as it should. God enables us by filling us. As we spend time with Him, as we confess our sin, as we seek to be led and directed, the Bible speaks about this controlling of the Spirit of God. I may not have the gift, but every one of us can be filled, can be controlled by the Spirit of God. Amen. And that's how He makes us able to allow this glorious treasure to shine forth in our life. He makes us able by His presence. What did Christ say before He left? He said, lo, I am with you always. He's there with us. He's placed His Spirit within us. And He tells us in John that if we abide in Him as He abides in us, then the Father abides in us also. You know, God, His presence is with us. And as His presence is with us, as His Spirit is controlling us, then we are sufficient. We are able to minister life to others. To speak forth these words that are just a sweet aroma to God. Why did He put the treasure in earthen vessels? It says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, when you see that word that in English, we kind of use it in two different ways. Actually, three ways. Sometimes we just throw it in a sentence when we're wanting to kind of fill a space. It really has no purpose. Other times, you know, that piano. Other times, it's used to designate purpose. I'm going to go out to my car so that I might drive. Okay, there's a purpose. Here, purpose. Okay? The treasure is in earthen vessels for the purpose that the excellency. Now, when we think of the word excellency, there's a couple of things that might come to our mind. I might think of, you know, it's just so great. It's so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But I also could use that word to describe just a humongous quantity. Okay? The very word used here for excellency actually is a Greek word that we get our English word hyperbole from. Okay? In English, we use that to say, well, you exaggerated to make a point. God's not exaggerating. This is just the far extent of his power. He's put this treasure in us so that the far extent of the power of the treasure will be obviously from God.
Amen.
And not from us. What should that do inside us? You know, for those of us that are more humble and feel like we're not able, yeah, you are. No matter what the circumstance, no matter how young you are in the Lord or how old you are in the Lord, you're able. Because the ability is not from you. You're probably more able to be used of the Lord than somebody that's been doing it for a long time. Because, you know, we start doing things for a while and we get into our habits and we get into our favorite patterns and we build expectations. But somebody who's humble just says, okay, Lord, I don't know what you can do, but whatever you can do, please do it through me.
Amen.
If we're proud, this verse should ring in our ears. You know? And this is something we men have a special problem with. Pride. And it seems like, you know, we go through this age process where we don't have a whole lot, and then we hit certain years and we tend to start building a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, and then, well, we get experience to enough life that we see that maybe we're not quite so good as we thought we were.
Amen.
And we become less proud. God never intends for this treasure to be displayed through me showing others how good I am. Mm-hmm. He never intends it to work that way. The greatness, the far-reaching ability of this power is from God and not from us. And maybe if we could take the time, if we're out trying to make known this wonderful treasure, and it doesn't seem to be having a lot of impact, people's lives don't seem to be changing, if I put the verses together, I think it points to the problem. The gospel, this message, is the power of God to salvation, to everyone that believes. And God's put the treasure in us so that the power, the excellency, might be of God. But you know, if I try to make that of me, somehow that earthen vessel clouds the beauty of the glory of that treasure and the power of that message. Something I've learned to do quite a bit in the last few years is when people haven't been saved recently, is just ask, Lord, how am I getting annoyed? It's just like, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. I mean, solid, sure, absolute, right? The gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone that believes. Solid, sure. Just as straightforward, just as simple. Maybe it'd be a good habit if we all took time to ask ourselves, God, am I getting in the way of this wonderful power, of this wonderful treasure, having its full impact on those around me? And it's wonderful to see those times when you can look and you're speaking of Christ to others, and there's an impact you never expected. You know, and the extent of the work is far more than you would ever thought of. It's just like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that things work the way they were supposed to. Not my excellency, not who I am, but who you are. What this treasure is. What is the treasure we're caring about? We've heard what God says it is. But if people we know were to evaluate us and say, here's the treasure that this person is caring about, what would it be? Would they honestly say, the light of the glory of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ? Or would they say, your retirement, your job, your family, your whatever? I need a job to provide, right? It's great to have a family. Good thing. But there's a surpassing glory. There's a surpassing excellency. What is the treasure that we are caring about? How familiar are we with that treasure? Is it one of the very first thoughts that comes to our mind when things happen in our life? Do I think in my daily life in terms of the knowledge of God and His character? You know, till we get to heaven, we're never going to think about that way every second of our lives. That's just practicality. God keeps us humble, keeps us realizing that, you know, I miss something. But is it getting to the point where it's a knee-jerk reaction in our minds when things happen? Do we behave ourselves in such a manner that God's purpose is fulfilled? You know, He's given us a treasure. He's put it in a clay pot. He's fashioned that clay vessel however He desires. The circumstances of our life, the family we are placed in, the people we've encountered in our life. He's done all that. Isn't it such a treasure to be able to open our mouths and to tell others, here's the treasure I found. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the character of God all condensed, boiled down, placed in a human body, walked on this earth, died for my sins, rose again the third day, and seated in heaven right now. That one day we will see. And you know, it's not going to be long before the earthen vessels are gone. And we're all with Him in glory. We might not make it through the day. We might not make it through the week. And you know, I used to say that kind of as a hyperbole. But brothers and sisters, I might not see Sioux Falls again. Not because I expect to die on the road. But just, my Lord is coming back soon.
Amen.
And how much do I care for those people around me? Are they worth sharing a little bit of that treasure with?
Mm-hmm.
How much do I care for my fellow believers? Maybe if I shared more of this treasure with them, they wouldn't have so many struggles in life that frustrate me. See the impact? My life may be easier. The other believers' lives may be easier. My focus might be on the right thing if I share the treasure with them. And if Corinthians again tells us, what are we supposed to be looking for in one another? We're supposed to look at the clay pot and look at the design? No. I seek to know nothing but Christ in you.
Amen.
The treasure. Let's look for the treasure in one another. Because if we don't, it's too easy to see the clay. And the clay doesn't encourage us, but the treasure does. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful treasure. Father, that you would allow us to know you. Father, that we could get to know you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, it just seems unfathomable that a holy and righteous God would want fellowship, would want communion, would want the beauty and the wonder of this treasure to be placed in vessels like us. But you say it's true, Father. And so we thank you. And Father, we ask that you would make us able, that you would make us sufficient. And Father, as we go about this community, for the rest of the time we're here, as we return home, Father, that sweet aroma of Christ would lift up. Father, that we would not be speaking of the glories of Christ only when we gather together on Sunday mornings to remember Him and His death. But we would be doing it moment by moment by moment.
Amen.
As we go through the week. Father, may you display the excellency of your power and the power of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that power that you've chosen to place in the gospel. May you put that on display through us. We ask for the glory and for the honor of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.